We have about we hope to have, I guess, another 3 weeks or so. So I thought it would make sense for us to shift gears a little bit and to speak about the construction of the mikvah itself. There are one or two dinim or psulim that we have not yet elaborated upon that, as Hashem, we will incorporate into our discussion about the manner in which mikvahs are created and are made. The goal tonight is really to do two things. To frame a little bit the chiyuv as described in poskim to actually build a mikvah, and then to outline, and this will sound odd in the beginning, but a bit of the methodology for what poskim try and do when it comes to the construction of mikvahs, and how makil or machmir people are in the realm of hilchos mikvah. So that's the primary goal for tonight. And then next week we'll deal with some of the details as far as the options that are available in terms of the actual construction of a mikvah. A lot of it will be built in chazara to things that we've already learned, ideas that are going to come back again. But let's begin again tonight. We're speaking about the obligation to construct a mikvah and the manner in which poskim are going to relate to it. Let's begin as follows. The Rama writes in Choshen Mishpat in Simen Kuf Samech Gimel. The Rama says that it is a responsibility incumbent upon the community to spend money in order to build a mikvah. Says the Rama, Kol Tzarche Ir Afa Pisha Miktsasin Einan Tzrichin. Even if there's a particular group of the population that does not actually require a mikvah, the Sma there elaborates as an example. You have elderly people who are not going to need to avail themselves of the mikvah. Mikvah in general is primarily used by women who are nida. Elderly people don't need that. Nevertheless, even those who are elderly, afilu hachi tzarech litein, even they have an obligation to contribute towards a mikvah. There's a very well-known comment of the Chavetz Chaim. It's quoted in the Michtavei Chavetz Chaim, revised quote in source number 5 on the sheet. In the Chavetz Chaim's letters, it's in Sefer called Kol Kisvei Chavetz Chaim, volume 3, at the end of the Sefer, Amud Pei Zayin. If they quote a line from the Chavetz Chaim, many are aware of this line, She'aser lador be'ir she'im ba mikvah tara. That the Chavetz Chaim said it's aser to live in a city that does not have a mikvah. And therefore, we tend to take this very, very seriously. Rav Moshe is a fascinating tshuva, Nigrash Moshe Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Aleph Simen Mem, where Rav Moshe has done in a fascinating question in Muncie, which is what exactly is the geder of a city. Do people, in order to be obligated in the mikvah, so it sounds like the Hava Mina was, if people don't officially ever sign up to be part of a city, so they aren't really considered to be part of a city. Rav Moshe says that's not true. V'im kein baruch she'anse Muncie, she'nechsevu l'chol ha'roem, that once people start identifying them, yeah, where do you live? You live in Muncie. Even though I never officially signed up, the rov have the right to be kofed the miyut. The majority have the right to force the minority to contribute towards building and constructing a mikvah. There is, in fact, such an obligation. There are going to be cases, as Moshe points out, where it's not going to be clear if we're going to force people to build a mikvah or not force people to build a mikvah. What's an example like that? Rav Moshe says, originally in Muncie, the story was that there were two mikvahs in nearby cities, but not in Muncie proper. And it would be a very long walk, Shnei Milin. It would be a fairly long walk, which was technically within the Tchum, so people could walk on Shabbos. But there were a lot of women that were saying, it's too far to go. When a woman has to go to a mikvah on Friday night, it's too far to walk to the mikvah on Friday night. Sometimes it's Muncie, it's the winter, it can get very, very cold. And therefore there was a discussion, are we forced in a case like that, where there are mikvahs that we could drive to, it technically is walkable, just women are complaining, or many people are saying it's a little bit too difficult. So will we in fact force you to build a new mikvah or not? So Moshe says, in a case like that, we'll follow Rov. In a case like that, we'll follow Rov. That if Rov of the people say it's too inconvenient, so then we're going to make everybody contribute to the mikvah. If only a miyut does, then we won't. But if you've been a city, such as Moshe, where only a miyut want a mikvah and there are no mikvahs available, there would even be ko for the rov. There would even make the majority build a mikvah. That's one of the tzarchei ha'ir. That's one of the requirements incumbent upon a community that they in fact have an obligation to build a mikvah. So the first step is that we see that the community has an obligation to build a mikvah. That's a ramah. All people are obligated to chip in whether or not they're going to use the mikvah or not, but they have an obligation as far as being part of the community. What we're not going to speak about, which is much more of a Choshen Mishpat question, Rav Moshe has done a little bit, how do we calculate how much money people have to pay? based on how many members in your household, based on how much money you have, what do you do? Rav Moshe is down. What about in communities where there are people living there who are somewhat transient? You have Avreichim, they live in the community, they're learning there for 2 or 3 years. A community where people are in medical school or law school, they're only going to be there for 3 or 4 years, are they just as responsible to pay an equal share in the mikvah? Or do we say they get to pay less because they're going to derive less benefit from it? Be that as it may, undoubtedly there is in fact an obligation to build a mikvah. However, the next stage is going to be a fascinating question, which is, what exactly is the level of this obligation? Has it compete with competing values? Meaning, less man depalig, it's good to build a mikvah. The question is going to be, a lot of the time, it's going to be a bit of a shaila, what about building the mikvah as opposed to something else? So if you look in source number 4 in the sheet, a different shuva, Rav Moshe, there, Flash Mishpan, in Chelik Aleph, Sim Mem Beis, Rav Moshe has the following, it's a dover pashut, that if you have an option of either building a mikvah or building a shul, that building a mikvah takes precedence. Even though this is the parsha, Vasuli Mikdash, the Zohar we quoted this morning, some of us, that there is in fact an obligation to build a Beis HaKnesses, which may even be again derived here in Parshas Truma, the reality is that building a mikvah takes precedence before. Why does building a mikvah take precedence before building a shul? What about a mikvah is so chashuv? So if Moshe makes the following argument. If people can't go to a mikvah, if women can't go to a mikvah, they're not allowed to be intimate with their husbands. They're going to be asura lebaaleim. And we know that if they can't be with their husbands, that's considered to be a mania of pur uruvu. And the pasuk in Sefer Shai, I believe, of Sheves, that there's a requirement to populate the land and there's mitzvah the rights of pur uruvu. And if women can't go to the mikvah, that's going to be a problem of pur uruvu. And it's also laso shalom beish laishto. And we know Chazal tell us from the story of Sota that we erase Shem Hashem Kelas of Shalom bin Ish Leishto in the middle of the whole ritual and ordeal that is the Mesota, etc. So it must be that we take this very seriously. Akadekach says of Moshe, something which is very extreme. The halacha is, we assume it's a Gemara, Mesachas Megillah, and Dafkav Zion, that we're Mocher Sefer to someone off. We'll Mocher Sefer Torah, Lisa Isha, because of the din of Sheves, to allow them to be able to have children. That's part of the reason why we'll be Mocher Sefer Torah, to be able to marry someone off. Says Rav Moshe, well, it happens to be that if we're willing to sell a Sefer Torah because of the mitzvah of Puruvu and Sheves, Pasha, we would even sell a Sefer Torah to build a mikvah, because that's not only for one individual, that's Kol HaNashim in the ear. That's going to be for everybody. So Rav Moshe says it's Pasha, we'd even sell a Sefer Torah to be able to build a mikvah. So Rav Moshe just follows. It happens to be that if you already have a shul that's built, Rav Moshe says, I believe, may ikar hadin, you could even sell the shul if you have no other money to able to get the money in order to build a mikvah. Meaning not only does a shul take precedence before a mikvah, but if you're going to have to sell a shul, may ikar hadin, you'd be allowed to, because it's more chamor even than a. Again, it goes back to the din of mokher and sefer Torah. But Rav Moshe does write that ideally, you want to avoid that situation and get the money. But if the shaila is a shaila of what takes precedence, binyan beis haknesses or building a mikvah, the answer undoubtedly is, says Rav Moshe, that you would build a mikvah. Ravadia and Yabia Omer and Chelek Zion or Chaim Simon Chafhei, Ravadia and Yabia Omer has a very similar discussion where he highlights the importance of mikvah for a slightly different reason. But it will give us some good insight into why we take mikvah so seriously. Ravadia's case was the following. You have a community that was trying to raise money. It was one of those like charity kind of events. And they were trying to raise money for a beautiful shul and a beautiful mikvah. And they raised money, but they didn't raise enough money for both the shul and the mikvah. They didn't raise enough money for both of them. So the first thing that Ravadia writes is, it's possible your knowledge to stam take that money and use it for something else. That's a Rambam, which is in Shulchan Aruch. You don't have to stam take the money and use it to build just a different communal building. If you raised it for Beis HaKnesses and for mikvah, that's what you have to do. But if I don't have enough money, so what should I use it for? So if Moshe says, it's possible if you have enough, Mikomakam HaRei Yesh Ben Dai V'Huzo L'Binyan Mikvah Tal HaNashim Shu Chashav Yosir Mikol Davar. That building a mikvah is considered to be more chashav. So if you have limited funds, when you raise the money, you should use it for a mikvah. Now, why is it that using it for a mikvah is considered to be more chashav? So for Moshe, he emphasizes the pruvu component, noting as far as the chumrah of this particular mitzvah saseh of pru, revu, and sheves, where mocher sefer Torah for it, so obviously it takes precedence over other things. Ravadia highlights a different discussion, which is a very intriguing and fascinating one. We know the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Ayin Dalet that there are gimel chamuros. There are three averas that we take very, very seriously. Akadikach, we call them yaharik v'al yavur. Better to die than to violate them. They are shvichas damim, avodah zarah, and gilui arayos. It is not always so clear in Rishonim what exactly is included begeder gilui arayos. What's called gilui arayos? There are a variety of Rishonim. Ravadia points out that Beis Yosef and Yoredeya and Simon Kuf Tzadihei, sounds like that in the Raspa and in Chulin as well, and the Avyuda Mebeis, that maintain that the Isser Nida, the Isser Nida is a particularly Chamor Isser, so that if a husband is alone with his woman, is intimate with his wife, and she was not Tovel in a mikvah, that would be Echad Mi Gili Arayos, that would be a problem of Gili Arayos. And therefore, says Ravadia, we're going to take mikvah more seriously. Again, Rav Moshe emphasizes the potential for Puruvu, Ravadia emphasizes a negative fallout, which is the fallout of it being Gilui Arayos. Says Ravadia, but isn't it true that Pnei Yoshua and Achuvah and Chelek Beis Sinem Memdalin? This is discussions in Baba Kama and Daf Yid Aleph, Derek Aga, not so connected, but a little bit there also, about that with Pnei Yoshua holds in Chuvahs, then Nida is not Gilui Arayos. We spoke about this a couple years ago. We learned Maseches Gidin. It comes up there in the first parak. That was last year. Nida being Gilui Arayos or not. That the Pnei Yoshua understands it's not Begeder, Dover Shebe'erva. It's not classic Gilui Arayos. Nevertheless, the Ravadia mikvah is very chamor because a man being alone with a woman who is a Nida, that's an Isser Kares. Isser Kares, every Bia they would have together would be a separate Isser Kares. And therefore, says Ravadia, we're going to treat this in a very chamor, very serious way to avoid the possibility, of Onesh Kares. He quotes a similar line from the Chazon Ish, that a mikvah tara undoubtedly comes before building a mikvah because of the problem of it being a potential iser of kares. Where else do we see that it has a bit of a unique status building a mikvah? So that's a tshuva in source number 6. Again, we're focusing much on the post game. It's setting the stage a little bit. Be'ez Hashem, for the next couple of weeks, is appreciating why it's so important to build mikvahs and why we're going to build them the way that we do. In the tshuva of Divrei Chaim, Sanzer Rebbe in Yerodeya Chelek Beis Simin Nin Zayin. Sanzer Rebbe, Chaim Sanzer, has a tshuva where there was a community that needed to build. They didn't have an appropriate mikvah, and they wanted to build a good mikvah that was going to be Albit Das Torah HaKadosha. The problem was that where they wanted to build it, there were fruit trees there. And we know that there is an Isser of Baal Tashlis, Isser Doraisa, if you're going to come along and destroy fruit trees. The discussion to be shown if Baal Tashlis is primarily about fruit trees, or about other things also. But undoubtedly, there's going to be a problem of Baal Tashlis. And the Shiloh was, are we allowed to uproot the fruit trees in order to build the mikvah? The tshuva primarily, the Divrei Chaim and tshuvas, is really a tshuva more about Baal Tashlis and when Baal Tashlis applies and when Baal Tashlis doesn't apply. But he says it's pashut, as it says in the Pre-Torah, that if the v'hinei l'dvar mitzvah bevadai mutter, for sure for a dvar mitzvah, it's okay. U'lechein davar mitzvah dirabim, especially if it's a mitzvah dirabim, we are going to allow you to not be concerned with Baal Tashlis. It's not called a waste. It's there for a reason. You can destroy it in order to be able to build something there. Again, Baal Tashlis is not for now. When it doesn't apply. But v'hinei didam, davutzorech rabim nikr bevadai lo shayach shum iser v'lo sakana. Says the Divrei Chaim, for sure there's no question at all when it comes to the Baal Tashlis question. I hope it's not. Yeah. Yeah. Happens all the time. Meaning, whenever you want to, you're in Chicago, you're on TUI, let's say, as an example, trying to, you know, relate. And you have and you have it there. So it's hard to find real estate where you're going to do it. What was real estate scene like in Sans? That's your question. It's a fantastic question. I'm actually intrigued by that question, but I don't know the answer. As far as Baal Tashlis goes, though, it is what it is. Now, that's all background as far as why we take building a mikvah so seriously and why we want it to be built, why we want it to be built in so many different communities, and why we try our best to make sure that it's going to be built to certain standards, and why we'll take precedence over many other things to be able to raise money, and to support a mikvah. The question now becomes as follows. We have learned a decent amount of Torah so far this year about the halachas of mikvahs. And we've seen a lot of different machloksim in Rishonim about what exactly the best kinds of mikvahs are going to be. We know that we have a problem. Let's begin by outlining the problem tonight, and then we'll speak about the way that Postgame are going to deal, at least, again, on level of methodology of what they're trying to do. The problem is like this. Me'ikar HaDin, it would be very easy and relatively cheap to build a mikvah. You dig a hole in the ground that can fit 40 suhs of rainwater. You let the rainwater come in, and you go and you are tovel in that mikvah. However, while that would be a wonderful way to have a kosher mikvah, it is entirely impractical for that to be mikvah for a variety of reasons. We'll go with just one or two very basic ones. Number one, it's going to get gross. It's going to get really dirty if it's one pit that people go in. Time after time, we have to have a mikvah system if lots of people are going in where the water can really be clean. And if you're relying on rainwater, so it's Eretz Yisrael in the summertime, it's not going to rain at all. The mikvah water is going to get really gross. You can't just empty it out and wait for new rainwater to come always. It's going to be something which is very difficult. We also are makbid. Many Bali Hora point out, we're makbid, especially in many of our communities, that the mikvahs be incredibly clean. Why do we want mikvahs to be incredibly clean? For all the reasons we just pointed out. It's Gilui Arayos, if not, potentially. Isurei Kares, if not. And you may have that are somewhat on the fence whether they want to go through the process of mikvah. And if they come in, again, this is aside from this, probably wanting to make it nice for, just make it comfortable for everybody. If you have women that you're nervous are going to come in and see it's gross, and that's going to, for whatever reason, cause them to not want to be tovel in the mikvah, so that's going to be a real problem of Isurei Kares and Gilui Arayos. So therefore, we, in general, are going to be as careful as we can to be able to build mikvahs, able to build mikvahs in a way where it can be really clean. So what are we going to do? Because we require rainwater. Why can't we use water just from a faucet? Because that's a problem of Mayim She'uvin. It's drawn water. So the problem is, so what exactly are we going to do? So we're aware of a lot of different ideas. We're aware of dinim of Hashaka. We're aware of Hamshacha. We're going to speak about Borzria. We're aware of a bunch of different potential ways of taking Mayim She'uvin and somehow making those Mayim She'uvin in a way that they can be, in a way that they can be kosher. But there are a lot of machloksim about how you do it. Remember Hashaka, your real rainwater mikvah, you have next to it, right next to it, with a small hole, so small, stress on note, a hole in between, and that you're going to fill up. You're going to fill up with Mayim She'uvin, with your water, because there's some sort of a connection. As long as you go and you can go in the clean water, that we can empty out, we can clean up in an easier way, you'll be tovel in that mikvah. And right next to it, again, its kashrus comes because it's connected to the real mikvah, the megishamim next door. The mila of it is people aren't actually being tovel in the megishamim. It's not going to get as gross. But we know there are machloksim about it. It has to be open the whole time, Rabbeinu Yerucham. Other Rishonim, as long as it's open once, that's considered to be okay. There are a lot of different shilas here, a lot of practical challenges relying on some of these things. So part of the question is going to be, when you want to build a mikvah, there's going to be a bunch of different options. We'll probably speak about 3, 4, or 5 ways that mikvahs typically are constructed in order for them to be kosher. But one of the questions is going to be, how machmir or mekel are we in Hilchos Mikvahos? We know in general the different areas of halacha. Some areas of halacha we are more mekel with, some areas of halacha we are more machmir with. As an example, the Gemara tells us, "Saksamay katan halacha kedivrei hamekel ba'avol." When it comes to Hilchos Avelos, in general, the parameters of it are debates amongst Rishonim, Achronim, etc. But in general, we have halacha called halacha kedivrei hamekel ba'avol. We know that there are many isuri doraisa where we say the isuri doraisa that we're going to be very, very machmir. There are certain areas where we may even be extra machmir in certain sense. What do we say about mikvahs? So there's a tshuva of the tashbates that many of the Rishonim, that many of the post can point out. Tshuva of the tashbates says, in general, we try to build mikvahs, mikvahkom efsha l'sakin, v'latet yidei, kol hasfekos, ein roi l'hachnes roshenu b'machakosan. And in general, we try to build mikvahs in ways that we are yotzei for all the dayas. We want to be as machmir. We try to be very, very machmir when it comes to building mikvahs. The Michas Yitzchak quotes from the Satmar Rebbe, a cute line. Satmar Rebbe said about this idea of having a mikvah. He says, "Do a master kasu aposkim to be mikvah. You thought that you did kol hashitos, but afal de yechida." You know, we know what the poskim say. That when you build a mikvah, you have to build a mikvah in a way which is going to be good for everyone. Shemati sichana me'ed kvo kedushas maran. I heard the same Satmar Rebbe, who said, you know, the din is in a mikvah a mikvah is supposed to be mitaher people. You don't want to have the kind of mikvah that people have to be mitaher. You don't want to have the kind of mikvah that people are raising shiloh, whether it's kosher or not, and it requires people. Hamikvah balatahir tmeyim. Ve'echos sevos hamikvah shenechutz latahir osa. That the mikvah is supposed to be undoubtedly kosher. Mikvah mitahir us. It shouldn't need us to find terutim as to how the mikvah itself, can really be kosher. One of the reasons why we're very machmir when it comes to building a mikvah, ideally that can be l'chol hadeos, aside from the isuri nida, aside from the sari, aside from the karis issues, and aside from questions about davar shebe'erva, etc., is the following. The Chalkos Yaakov points out, Rabbi Jacker has a lot of fantastic articles about mikvos. In source number 10, Rabbi Jacker quotes the tshuva of the Chalkos Yaakov. Chalkos Yaakov writes in Chelek Gimel, Simen Nun Zayin, there's a fundamental difference between a giving a hechsher on food and giving a hechsher on a mikvah. If a local rabbi gives a hechsher on a particular restaurant, so any individual member of that community can just decide, I'm not going to be somech on it. I can say, I'm going to buy my food somewhere else, I'm going to do something else, I have other ways out. But when there's one community mikvah, the guy doesn't really have other options. And because there are people that want to be more machmir, so as long as he has other options, I don't have to be so concerned with one person's chumrah. But a person that wants to have chumras in the realm of Hilchos Nida, which is a suffix of Gilead Arayos, if a window doesn't go to the mikvah, needs to wait karis for sure, and questions like that. So we're going to be all the more machmir, try to be as much as we can, to do whatever we can for those people to be able to comfortably use the mikvah. Rejector quotes that one of his cousins, he had a cousin who ran the mikvah on the Lower East Side in the time of Rav Moshe. So his cousin told him that Rav Moshe, whenever he had the opportunity, would always look for ways to make the mikvah on the Lower East Side even better, to upgrade the mikvah, to be choshes for more shitas, to have it be as good as possible. That was something which they did. Now, because we are so machmir when it comes to building mikvahs, there are, however, two very important things to know. The first is that there is a very well-known comment of the Chazon Ish. It's quoted in source number 9, source number 10. I don't know the original mucker. They say about the Chazon Ish that he never saw a city with a pasul mikvah, because we're so machmir in mikvahs that end of the day, kimat all mikvahs, unless you really mess up, kimat all mikvahs are considered to be kosher. However, he said, I've also never been to a city where I've seen a kosher Eruv. That a Reuven, to construct an Eruv, that's something that's very tricky. Rabbi Sobolovsky, I think, once said in the Shiur Mikvos, he has a couple of fantastic, or I'm sure many, fantastic Shiur Mikvos, and he said the first time when he applied to become a Rav of a shul, and he was in his probably low 30s, the shul was in the process of building a mikvah. So he said to him, we're looking for someone, do you have any expertise as far as building mikvos? So he said, I don't, but I can guarantee you the mikvah we build is going to be a kosher mikvah. So he said, how can you guarantee him? He said, well, the Chazon Ish said he's never been to community and seen a not kosher mikvah. And there's no way that we're going to be the first ones to get the mikvah wrong and make the Chazon Ish into a chakran, so I'm sure it's going to be good. Then he said, but I'm telling you, you don't want to know the second part of that statement. Because the second part of that statement is that, and he said, no, tell. He said, second part, he's never been to a community with a kosher Erev. Now, it happens to be a Reuven, we've made a lot of progress. It's not an Erev shear. But Erevin, we've done a lot of things now as far as the way it's constructed. Hopefully, Ezra Hashem, many of the Erevs, we assume are kosher, but most importantly, what we do is we have people go around on every Erev Shabbos to check the Erevs, to make sure the Erevs are good and that they require fixing, hopefully, and they have to be checked by people that are good. But because we're very, very machmir in general, you can assume the average mikvah at least has what to be so mechan, Rav Moshe also in his tshuvas, in Yoredeya. When he speaks of how to construct a mikvah, it's very clear that a lot of the different shitas, we're going to maybe try to be machmir for different things, but important to remember what is considered at least to be kosher, me'ikar hadin, what's considered to be appropriate, me'ikar hadin. The last thing that I would say, this way Jack pointed also from other poskim, is that the whole idea of being as machmir as you can be is undoubtedly true in the Tashbeis, Michas Yitzhak, and others. However, has to always be balanced by some of the other things that we spoke about, and that is the following. Mikvahs are expensive to build. We can't just dig a ditch, let rainwater go in, and be good. And the pipes are going to have to go down in a way where the water drops in the hamshacha. It drops on there, and then it goes into the mikvah water from a little of the from the ground a little bit. We're going to have a little bit of hashaka of another build a mikvah here, another thing there. It's going to require maybe even Chabad mikvahs have a particular kind of mikvah, how it's constructed. It's going to be hard to make sure that all our mikvahs, it costs a lot of money to be able to build and construct a kosher mikvah. when you live in places that are not in the five towns or LA, when you're dealing with a small community somewhere out of town, and there are real chashashos in terms of the capacity to raise necessary funds to be able to build a mikveh, and you have people that are in the mikveh at that time. So situations like that, many of the posts can point out, so there we are going to be a bit more makel, because the other option there is not having a mikveh at all. And it's one thing to be machmir for all the shitas when we can be machmir for all the shitas, but if you don't have the opportunity to be machmir for all the shitas, because in those particular locations, we are just somewhat more limited in terms of our financial means and the realities on the ground and what we can construct, so obviously it's most critical to have a mikveh, because we want to be machmir because of gilui arayot. Sometimes, given the b'diavad situation, the biggest chumrah we could have is going to be to have certain kulas to make sure that we are at least going to have a mikveh. We don't want to be, as my friend taught us all, perfect sometimes is the enemy of good, or whatever the exact line was. And we don't want to be in a situation where we're striving for a perfect mikveh and we end up never constructing one. It may be hard to build a mikveh which is yotzei for all the dayas. It may be hard to build which is entirely perfect, even under the best of circumstances, but certainly under certain complex or limited circumstances. And it's important to remember that we're going to build mikvahs like that. So that's what we spoke about tonight, was the chiv to build a mikvah, its status as a mitzvah, both in terms of its facilitating certain mitzvahs asay, as well as its preventing certain chamor mitzvahs, certain chamor los asays. And we spoke a little bit about the community's responsibility to make sure whether or not a person needs a mikvah or doesn't need a mikvah. It's incumbent upon the community, the Ramah reminded us, to make sure that we have mikvahs. When we construct them, part of what we're going to try to figure out, what we're going to see, is that the only question is not going to be what is good me'ikr hadin. But when we build a lot of our mikvahs, the shayla is going to be what is the best possible way that we could construct a mikvah for it to all be as good as possible. I think Rabbi Jackson wrote an article about the mikvah in Tenafly, if anyone's there. I think it's in this article where I think he said that in Tenafly, they actually were able to build a mikvah where on some level is over a ma'ayan. It's actually a spring going on also, which is somewhat unique. We'll speak about that if we had more time. We would have spoken about it tonight. Whether it's for sure better to have a mikveh or a ma'ayan, or is there an extra chumrah of going to a ma'ayan? Obviously, ma'ayans are more hygienic because the water is always flowing through. Yeah, Rizal's mikveh, we don't think of it, you know, one of those hygienic places in the world. I can't imagine that's true. But I'm sure that is, but there's nothing not to be said for that. But the way we construct mikveh is try to build certain chumras in, make sure it's all good. That at least is a significant part of it. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your night.